It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast, where we have been trying to figure out what even is time, given how this World Cup has been exploding onto our screens and unfolding across time zones. This is Tariq joining you, incidentally, from London, along with Karan, although we are not in the same postcode here.
It's coming home.
And as you can see, London has made Karan as annoying as he could possibly have devolved to be. Also joining us to keep things sane here and not unnecessarily show support for England is Vishal.
What's happening, guys?
All right, gentlemen. So it's been quite a while. This tournament has been going on at such a breakneck pace that we have not had even time to record an episode. And even as we currently record an episode, it is in between the small gap that is there between the round of 32 and the round of 16. So it's been quite something. 4/5 of the games are over in a 104 game tournament, and it felt like the blink of an eye. So Vishal, let's go with you first. We talked about this before, and we want to just talk about it again, that, you know, there is something to be said about tournament football. A lot of people, I think the world has kind of become inured to this idea, and a lot of people, especially football fans, keep demanding some sort of ultimate version of the truth and best team to win and elaborate systems, processes, schemes, and styles of football and things like that. And then along comes the World Cup, which has a particular format, which obviously compresses things, makes upsets and uncertainty more possible, which leads to great storylines, which we'll talk about in a moment. But Vishal, your thought, because we've multiple times over the last 2 weeks, maybe three, have said that long live tournament football, because this is just incredible stuff.
Absolutely, because I think before every World Cup or any big tournament that starts, there's lots of noise, there's lots of complaints, there's lots of issues, everybody's unhappy with everything that's going around the World Cup, and then it starts. And suddenly all that noise is out and it's just football, right? And that, again, this World Cup has been the personification of that. I think it has just been excellent football. I think all of us were uncomfortable with the format, but that seems to have worked out very well. And while, yes, there are lots of teams, all teams pulling their weight, the big ones, the small ones, some big ones also not pulling their weight. So it's been absolutely fantastic, where at any given point in time, no team has been allowed to rest or relax or take a second to even, you know, gather themselves, because it has cost them either their spot in the tournament or the match or much larger consequences, right? So it's been a spectacular World Cup. And I truly have enjoyed every bit of it, except the time zones, because I've been sleeping between matches and waking up to watch the games. But it's been, I've truly, truly enjoyed. The football fan in me has enjoyed this World Cup.
Yeah, so, and this is the thing about World Cups. I'll bring Karan in here for this. Karan, again, the experience of looking at a World Cup as a tournament, where there are, you know, multiple countries, and you would expect some countries to overperform, some to underperform, and it just brings out this desperate level of football sometimes. Sometimes it's not the most good-looking levels of football, but there is a lot of suspense, there's a lot of surprise, the two things you need in great sporting contests. And that's probably what makes it more interesting, because, again, whatever club football brings to the table and whatever other formats might be there, and whatever the controversies might be about the World Cup, you know, politically, geopolitically, and so on, stripped away of all of that, it still remains an idea that's unparalleled.
Yeah, 100%. I completely agree with that, because in many ways, you know, international football, as opposed to, say, club football, is not bogged down by the dominance of money. Not that there's no money in it, there's definitely a lot of money in it, but it's not bogged down by it. wherein, you know, if a team that's not doing well, they just don't, they can't just, you know, buy their way to success. Because here you are basically stuck with who you have, and it's how best you make use of your resources. And a lot of lesser known teams have proven over the years, and even in this World Cup, that they can do that. And they've really kind of, you know, upset the apple cart quite a bit over here. And that's what makes, you know, tournament football, international football, that much more exciting because of the uncertainty, like you said.
Yeah. So, and one other thing that we have talked about this otherwise also a lot of times, and even during previous editions of the World Cups that we have covered, amazingly, this is soccer since its fourth World Cup. Because we have been covering the World Cup since 2014.
not covered the World Cup with Italy making it to a knockout.
It's been amazing that since we started covering the World Cup, Italy have decided to completely give up on it. But we'll bring you in, Vishal, on this. Again, when we talk about the skill level and the style of football, sometimes just free-flowing works. Because if you look at the story of the tournament, everybody agrees that it is Cabo Verde who has been sort of the story of the tournament in that sense, because they've just exited the tournament unbeaten in normal time. Of course, they lost to Argentina last night 3-2 in a game where they were spectacular. And they've been an example of a country or a team which, you know, tiny country, they don't have the tax loopholes of a Curaçao to bring in Netherlands-born players to play for them. A lot of it is pretty local in that sense. And also they have a football culture which is very street football culture oriented, which perhaps led to them expressing themselves that way, because they have shown both heroic defense, obviously their goalkeeper is one of the breakout stars, and some level of prowess in attack, because that's what happened against Uruguay. Against Spain, obviously, they showed that they were capable of incredible levels of defending. Against Argentina, they showed that they're capable of defending and, of course, going and taking the bull by the horns, in a sense, and just falling short. We have not seen that with other such surprise runs. We had maybe a Turkey in 2002 or a Costa Rica in 2014. And those are teams which had stretches of three or four games where they've scored one or two goals and they've just sort of just about squeaked through. So, Vishal, let's talk a little bit about teams like Cabo Verde and what do you think they bring to the football here?
Complicity. I think you nailed it right there. Because there are all these big teams with these superstar players, with these superstar managers who are all trying to prove that they're the best thing that has happened to football and trying to complicate a very simple game. And then there is a team with limited resources, be it financially, be it talent-wise, be it infrastructure-wise, be it anything, right? They might only know one style of football. They might only have one manager who's crazy enough to take up that job and want to guide them to a World Cup, because most of them are going to be afraid that they're going to get embarrassed at a World Cup, right? So, like, I think to start off with, they were just happy to be here to start with. So I think through the last 3-4 years, I think we've been echoing this, especially post the pandemic, where football needs to find its roots again. Football needs to find the joy in its game again. I think that's what this story has been about, right? Because if you look at the fans, if you look at the way they celebrate their goals, it is with the fans, it is for the fans, it is for the country, and it is just pure joy. It is none of these players are here to make it to a large club, to be signed by a massive club for multi-million contracts. That's not going to happen. They're aware. Their goalkeeper, who's a breakout star, is 40 years old, is not going to play beyond this. He's going to go back to being a bus driver, right? If you don't see the romance in that,
and yeah, I think
this is football. This is truly what football is.
I think anybody who does not see the romance in that ought not to be following the game at all, because you know you don't reduce it down to an intellectual exercise or be in the perpetual whining mode, which I will now turn to and will bring Karan in because he said it's coming home.
Sorry, 100 points for that timing. 100 points for that. When you're back, one Nagarjuna biryani on me.
So Karan, let's talk about England a little bit, because this is a very interesting England side, in the sense that Harry Kane is doing what perhaps
Harry Kane does.
you could call Harry Kane the London Messi at this point, for the carry job that he has been doing with this England side, which, of course, as we are aware, Thomas Tuchel has left some of the biggest stars at home. Pretty bold calls, but they have somehow, with a little assist from carelessness from the Democratic Republic of Congo in the round of 32, have managed to obviously make it to the quarterfinal, which sets up probably, or rather the round of 16, which sets up probably the most interesting match in the round of 16, because they're taking on Mexico at the Azteca. Mexico is probably another team that has been a very interesting breakout here. So put that in context for us, Karan. Not what's happening at the pubs in London, but more to do with what's happening on the strategy sheets for Thomas Tuchel, because Harry Kane is on a generational run. But if we are to shudder, consider the possibility that England could go all the way, what else needs to happen for them?
Wow, that's a good question. That's a million-dollar question, because I think with England right now, the problem is they're just too dependent on Harry Kane, but at least so far in the tournaments, I think that there's, I wouldn't say that there's a lack of talent. There's definitely a lot of talent in this England team, but we're not seeing them bringing it to the fore at the same time, because you have like individual performances so far that have been kind of bailing them out, but they haven't been able to kind of take any of the games from the scruff of the neck and kind of dominate, which I don't think they're even I don't think they're even trying to do. In many ways, I think Thomas Tuchel is still trying to figure out not just the best combination, but even the best way to kind of approach games, especially against teams where they're considered, at least on paper, to be favorites. It's a different story when, if they come up against a France or a Spain kind of come up with a strategy to break down teams who are able to kind of, not necessarily park the bus, but are able to stifle their attacks. So that's definitely going to be a problem. At least with Mexico, I feel that, I'm not going to say that, it's going to be a very open game, but definitely more open than probably what they had against Congo. But there are other challenges as well, playing Mexico in Mexico, and there's already been talk.
Not to mention
Then apparently,
the altitude, the
going to
timings.
avoid a storm. Yeah, a thunderstorm and all of that. So yeah, I mean, it's and the people have already been complaining about it. So it's not like they ever need a reason here.
Yeah, so speaking of teams that think they are God's gift to football, Vishal, let's talk a little bit about one of the co-hosts, that is the US, who low-key have been
Which football were you
also
talking
playing.
about? Which football were you talking about?
Who have low-key been pushing this idea that, well, they might have an outside chance here, because Pochettino seems to have sparked some life into them. Again, interesting team that way, Vishal. But again, I mean, do the delusions of grandeur help here, or hinder their cause as they move into the round of 16, which is relatively uncharted territory for this US team?
This is a double-edged sword for them, right? Because credit where it's due, Pochettino has done a Pochettino has right on time for the World Cup. I understood who's starting 11 is, what works, what system works, what type, and playing free-flowing football. They're getting the players who there's no lack of talent in this team, right? It has just been the lack of cohesion. And of course, in America, everybody wants to be in a movie, so therefore they all wanted to be the next superstar. But he's gotten them to play as a team as well. So yes, there's suddenly expectations from them. Can they win this World Cup? That will take a massive effort, because that will also require other teams to play not as well as them for them to really go through. Because if in the end of the day, if they come up against one of the big teams, it's going to come down to talent versus talent, and it'll be tough for them. But however, if you are the US Soccer Federation, oh my God, I can't believe I said that. You're going to sit back and
I mean, we're
And
calls.
look at this as a springboard. Yeah, you're going to sit back and look at this as a springboard to the to attracting more talent, setting up your grassroots, actually giving MLS some shape and form, and instead of just letting Inter Miami run
Entire
the league.
league.
So then, if US are serious about this World Cup, they need to use this as a springboard to success and not believe that this is the reason they are there, that this is the World Cup of success for them. It should ideally kick off success that should yield them a World Cup maybe in the next 2 decades or so, because they're not going to win it now or anytime soon. But and of course, it's
The
the yeah,
pipeline.
if Sir Donald Trump allows people to move to the country, because half of these US players cannot play for the country the way they're going. Oops.
So which brings us to the big teams that you mentioned, Vishal. We have obviously Brazil, we have France, and we have Spain, all of whom have shown great glimpses of what they're capable of, and it's big, set up a very, very interesting sort of run in, because if all of these teams make it to the quarterfinals, we have some very mouth-watering prospects out there. But are you convinced by a Brazil, a Spain, or a France?
Spain have really not done any convincing for me so far. They've been on and off average, and I think if they're going to continue that, they will be knocked out sooner than instead of later. France have been impeccable, great football, but if you're France, you need to get that bad game, that one bad game that's going to come out of your system as quick as possible, and not hope it comes in the stages of the round, the eighth fours or the finals for that matter. Brazil got tested and responded well to that test, so
And
their guards are up.
they have another great test coming up in Norway, actually. So that should be another great game
Absolutely.
in this round of
So
16.
you now know that they're not going to come in relaxed into this game. So it's interesting. All the for a change, all big teams except Germany and the Dutch. Thank you, Norway. I mean Netherlands for again breaking my heart. Always count on you guys. But almost all good teams have turned up. The players have turned up. I think for a change, all the stars are delivering what they're meant to deliver in a World Cup, and that's refreshing to watch, because they always say, stars love their clubs more than their country. I think most of them, if not all of them, have proven otherwise. So it's treading in the right direction. I think we are in for a terrific round of quarterfinals and semis, and of course the end of the World Cup.
The final, of course, there are also Switzerland and Colombia in there somehow, but that's what happens when you get a 48 team 48 team World Cup. But of course, there are some great games in there, and which brings us to the other two teams that everybody has been talking about, and primarily because of, well, certain players in those teams, and those would be Argentina and Portugal. Argentina, so far as defending champions, have, well, not exactly looked outstandingly solid or brilliant, but it's just Lionel Messi all over again, and that's what we've been talking about, that somebody who's just playing for the joy of the game seems to be doing great. Portugal seems to have found something that could work around Cristiano Ronaldo. So Karan, do you think that system could work? Because they have a very interesting Iberian derby coming in against Spain, which would be the ultimate test, really, that if
Yes.
they're able to make it through there, things could
Yeah.
look very interesting.
I think the problem is that if they really want to get far in this tournament, they need to do away with this whole plan of playing through Ronaldo. Because the fact is that, you even removing Ronaldo from this Portugal squad, they still have a fantastic squad. Man for man, they can go up against anybody. But the problem is, in many ways, I think Ronaldo is holding them back. And while they might have kind of, gotten away with it until now, I mean, they really pushed their luck against Croatia as well. But at the minute they kind of play a real top quality opposition, they're going to get found out. Because in many ways, if they keep going like this, Ronaldo is definitely proving to be a liability. Argentina used to make the same mistake a few years back, but they got that right 4 years back, and the results were there to see. So if Portugal have really seen going deep in the tournament, they need to kind of do away with that Ronaldo's template.
Okay, so which it's and since you mentioned Croatia, this brings me back to you, Vishal. Because what better way to capture the romance of what the World Cup is and what you've seen than talk a little bit about Croatia, and more specifically, the one gentleman who's been around for this entirety of our soccer sense coverage of the World Cup and even before, and that would be Luka Modric. Again, Vishal, you've mentioned Croatia many times, and they are obviously one of the teams that we love watching, not just because of the style of football, but the sheer weight of emotion and storytelling that they bring to the World Cup. And perhaps Modric has been an incredible embodiment of that. So thoughts on Croatia? They were obviously very cruelly denied against Portugal, but we'll not get weighed into that controversy. But generally speaking, just Modric and Croatia's legacy on this tournament.
I think if you were to go back all the way starting from 98 till now, where I think Croatia have almost all World Cups left a mark behind, right? Be it in terms of absolutely almost winning the World Cup, to going deep in every World Cup, to challenging the top teams, and the fantastic part is for the last four World Cups, their core has not changed. Like Modric, Kovacic, then I'm forgetting the winger who's ex-Inter Milan. I'm forgetting his name, but these three to four players have come back every World Cup, despite their age, and Kovacic and Modric's performance against Portugal, if that was not the definition of perfection, I don't know what is. Kovacic got misplaced two passes in that game, guys. Two passes. That is mathematically impossible in a game of football. He has scored a goal, he hit the post twice. Like, if there ever was a definition of a perfect performance, and Modric, who is 41 years old, schooled the supposed best midfield in the World Cup. He single-handedly schooled the Portuguese midfield. And nobody's talking about Portugal's win. Everybody's talking about Croatia's exit. And that's the mark they've left behind, right? Like, even the finals that they lost, everybody spoke about, man, what a great performance.
Yeah,
And it's
I
going to be
think
more.
like you say, from 98 onwards, I think they've made more semifinals and finals than Brazil, or the same number of finals as Brazil, and probably more semifinals than Brazil.
It is unbelievable what that team stands for and how they do it over and over again. It is unfortunate that this generation is more or less done, but knowing Croatia, it's a matter of time before the next set of players come in. Like, man, I'll never stop being fans of that country and the way they play their football. I'll never stop it. I think that spirit of just not giving up and not at the cost of playing bad football, it just doesn't exist anywhere else.
All right. So now looking forward, gentlemen, you've seen obviously it's been a crazy tournament, and like you said, we are looking forward to a round of 16 and quarterfinals, semifinals, which are likely to be very, very interesting at the least, or very explosive. Quick word on who you really would sort of see being the favorites right now, because obviously a lot of apple carts, like Karan said, have been upset.
Like Vishal said, France have just looked a level above everybody else so far. If you have to go with them, there's no way, at least based on the evidence, they've just been so good. And it's not just any specific individual players. While they have been players who have really stood out for France, even as a team, they've been absolutely phenomenal. Like Vishal said, they need to get one bad game
Out of the way.
out of the way. In many ways, I felt they kind of did in the first half against Senegal, and after that, they've just not looked back. So you
Although
never know. I mean,
the next game is against Paraguay, so that should be an interesting one.
yeah,
Not
indeed.
least because Paraguay obviously made life difficult for Germany as well. But having said that, this was probably not one of the most generational German sides in a while. Vishal, quick word on France in that sense, that we have seen probably France being the embodiment of one of those things where they've just put some good players up front and they've said, just go ahead and have fun. And it seems to be producing some spectacular results.
Absolutely, that team is a cheat code. The that kind of talent up front is just unfair. And like Karan said, they have just looked a level above everybody else. So I think it is for France to lose this World Cup, right? Because no matter how good their opponent is, I think they're better than everybody else that are remaining in this World Cup. So it is down to either an opponent having a magical night or France just doing their job and taking this home. It's down to France losing this World Cup instead of,
Yeah,
being outplayed by somebody else.
because we're talking about a team that has made the last two finals, that is odds on favorite to make this final as well. But
And I think the last final they made it, the last final they made, I think they made it by missing about nine regular players who didn't even make the World Cup. So, dear God.
And there were very fine margins away from actually winning that final. So
Winning it, yep.
don't forget that it went to the penalties.
Yep.
And they could have had back to back, and they could have been going back to back to back.
Yeah.
So this is probably sort of a the Brazil level run between 62 and then 70. Obviously, we all know who punctuated 66, but
It came home
60.
already.
Karan, stop it.
I think we have to administer a soccer sense loyalty test to Karan for future panel
Absolutely.
appearances.
Yeah, I'm just being a Roman in Rome, right?
Even the Romans left Karan.
Correct.
All right, gentlemen. So we have had quite a whirlwind journey all through. Obviously, this remains a tournament that off the field, there are a lot of other things to talk about, but we'll come back to that perhaps in a different episode. But as of now, we have been just enthralled by the football, as have a lot of people who have been probably watching this tournament. And again, discovering that romance and the summer fling that is international football, because we'll all go back to cribbing about international breaks shortly once the club tournaments or the leagues resume. But again, football in its purest form, hopefully, is what we get to enjoy over the next few days. And we will be bringing you the analysis of the round of 16, the moment that lets us breathe after the round finishes for another episode, and hopefully the remainder of the tournament as well. In the meantime, this is Tariq signing off along with Karan, who's roaming around in Covent Garden.
See you guys.
And Vishal.
See you guys.